The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
So let's go to the sport of the Dublin Bay South by-election. We'll be joined in a moment by Professor Gary Murphy from the School of Law and Government at Dublin City University for his assessment and analysis. But first, let's start with the political editor of the Irish Examiner, Daniel McConnell. So is it done and dusted now at this stage for Ivana Bacic to win the seat?
It looks like it, Matt. She got a stunning result, 30.2% on the first count, 8,131 first preference votes. That's essentially 10 times her party's national poll rating. And the feeling going into the count, Matt, was that were James Gagan and Fine Gael to stand any chance, they would have to be between 5 and 7 points clear of Ivana Bacic on the first count. He's well behind already, and she's far more transfer friendly than he's likely to be. So there really is no stopping Ivana Bacic. She will be the replacement in Dáil Éireann for the seat vacated by Eoin Murphy.
And that really is a reward for diligence and resilience, isn't it? Because she has been a political player for a long time and has failed in previous attempts to get elected to Dáil Éireann, even if she's been very successful in Shannon elections.
Yeah, she has contested general elections in Dublin Central and failed spectacularly. And she, you know, I think the one that really bruised her most was she was Eamon Gilmore's running mate in Dunleary in the 2011 election. And that not only, I suppose, damaged her, but it damaged him. The fact that he, at the I suppose, the peak of his powers, couldn't get a running mate of her calibre in that election did sort of go against her. But this is a very natural constituency for her. It's where she lives. There's a lot of lawyers and a lot of legally type people in that constituency, Matt. And she clearly became the viable alternative to the Fine Gael candidate, James Gagan. Her track record clearly stood to her. And as a lot of people who I did a number of canvases myself, and a lot of people who were living in there said to me, like, I mean, she's not known for her community work. She's not known, I suppose, necessarily for being a constituency type politician, but she's well embedded in that constituency, and that certainly has paid dividends. And I think also in the wake of that Irish Times poll about a week ago, when it certainly put Ivana Bacic in the mix for the seat, I think she became the real alternative or the viable alternative. So I think a lot of support that may have gone to Claire Byrne and the Greens drifted to Ivana Bacic and like the likes of Sarah Durkin. But it's clear, you know, the likes of Deirdre Conroy for Fianna Fáil had a very, very bad day at the office. So
we'll get to that in a second. But Gary Murphy, that Irish Times opinion poll in the middle of the campaign, might that have been highly influential in setting momentum and influencing the way that people voted, in that prior to that, people had not been talking about Ivana Bacic as being a serious contender? It was been set up as James Gagan against Lynn Boylan. Suddenly, that opinion poll makes her a live contender. Could it have had an undue influence?
I'm not so sure, Matt, really. I think what the opinion polls do is they reflect the trend at any one stage in a constituency. And I do think, to be fair to Danny and myself, we both spoke on your show at the beginning of the campaign and said that Ivana Bacic would probably poll very well given the long progressive history she has. So I think we'll claim some credit there, Matt. Now, we must also say, of course, that I predicted that Gagan would be at least 5 points ahead of her and might just get home, and I was spectacularly wrong there, so mea culpa. And it is a great result for Labour. It gives a huge fill-up to the party that many of us might have thought, was on its way out after the disastrous result of 16 and 20, Matt. Yeah.
In that, it was pointed out by somebody today that Ivana Bacic actually nominated Eoin O'Riordan to be the leader of the Labour Party instead of Alan Kelly. Alan Kelly did not hold that against her, realised that she had the best chance of winning the seat and went for her nomination, which is in stark contrast to the way Leo Varadkar treated Kate O'Connell, because if he had run Kate O'Connell today, might he have a different outcome?
He might, Matt, of course. And again, we said it during the campaign on your show, candidates matter. Labour could have went for Kevin Humphreys, who was, of course, elected in 2011 and stood again for the party in 2016 and polled credibly in the light of the Labour meltdown in that election. So, you know, I think going for Ivana Bacic certainly helped. As Danny said, she has a long... I mean, she was in college in Trinity in the late 80s when I was in UCC, and she was a national figure then, you know, and in her support for abortion rights, her opposition to Spock and to the pro-life amendment campaign. And in that context, she was quite radical in those days, when her views now are much more mainstream, if you take into account the the repeal referendum of 2018, same-sex marriage of 2015, and certainly those progressives who might have thought of going for the Greens or maybe for Fine Gael, the poll might certainly have influenced them in the last week. So, you know, I think the poll is reflective of the way the campaign was going, but it might certainly have influenced some people to throw their lot behind Ivana Bacic. For Fine Gael, it's disastrous result for Leo Varadkar. As again, you know, he was appointed in 2017 Fine Gael election in the expectation that he would bring Fine Gael, you know, to the great heartlands, the sunlands of, you know, perpetual victory, and that hasn't happened. In fact, he's presided over a disastrous general election, a disastrous by-election now, where his candidate didn't even top the poll in the heartland of Gareth Fitzgerald. Fine Gael haven't won a by-election since 2014. They did okay, and that's all in the local and European elections of 2019, and I think serious questions will be asked within Fine Gael about why they chose James Gagan over or Kate O'Connell, and in fact about the leadership of Mr. Radker himself.
Okay, have we been hearing anything from Fine Gael so far, Daniel McConnell?
They're literally about to do a doorstep outside the RDS in the next half an hour with the candidate James Gagan and his director of elections, Simon Harris. And I think, you know, it's concession time really now at this stage. I think they're going to, you know, accept that he can't catch Ivana Bacic. But just to Gary's point there, I mean, there's already people talking within Fine Gael that, like, you know, as he pointed out, I mean, they lost four of the four by-elections in Dublin, you know, in Dublin late 2019. They had a disastrous election in 2020. So, you know, Leo Varadkar's electoral record is disastrous, is really terrible as leader of Fine Gael. And as Gary said, he came to power on the promise that he would deliver them to sort of 60 seats territory again, and that simply hasn't happened. So I quite imagine that, you know, Leo Varadkar came into the leadership and, you know, assumed total control over his party. Like, there was a lot of people who were just saying he is our leader, and, you know, he dominated that party for the first, you know, since then, largely unfettered and uninterrupted. I kind of think this result, on top of the general election result last year, will embolden those people who are growing somewhat tired of his all shiny but little substance approach to politics. And also as well, there are people, you know, again asking, you know, this comes down to Leo's inability to kind of forgive and forget and do what's in the best interest of the party. Just because he fell out with Kate O'Connell, he probably should have realised that, you know, he needed to win this by-election at all costs, and to do that he probably should have buried the hatchet with Kate O'Connell and let her be the candidate. But he failed to do that, and now we'll have to pay, and he alone will have to pay the price for that.
Okay, let's move on to Fianna Fáil, because Fianna Fáil's candidate Deirdre Conroy has polled less than 5% of the first preferences. Now, I suspect that some people in Fianna Fáil might end up consoling themselves, Gary Murphy, that they had, and let's be fair about it, an unimpressive candidate. She did not do well in debates in this studio, in television studios, and she looked out of her depth by comparison with others, even though she was an elected councillor. But could it be that rather than putting the blame on her and her performance, that this is actually a signal of a much deeper malign within Fianna Fáil, that they are stuck for people to run as candidates, particularly in Dublin, and that their brand in Dublin now, the Fianna Fáil brand, is toxic?
Yeah, like, there is a deep malaise within Fianna Fáil, Matt. They thought that they were back in sort of decent territory after the, or before the 2020 election, where they expected, as I think we know, to get maybe 50 seats or so, and that was a very disappointing election for them. The revival in Dublin had begun, but this result now puts all that into question. Certainly Deirdre Conroy came across as very nervous on the campaign, unimpressive in comparison to pretty much all other candidates. I thought actually that James Gagan performed reasonably well in the debates, including on your own show. Conroy, no one could really say that about her. The one consolation, I suppose, for Micheál Martin is that Jim O'Callaghan, his putative successor, was the director of elections. Now, I heard him come out just about a half an hour ago saying that, you know, the whole party had to take a good look at itself. He wasn't certainly taking all the blame or any of the blame.
But hold on, doesn't he have to take a lot of it? I mean, like, this is the man who turned down a junior ministry on the basis it seems that it wasn't good enough for him if he wasn't been offered a senior ministry, and was talking about sort of revitalising Fianna Fáil from the back benches, and here in his very own constituency, abject failure.
Oh, I completely agree. I'm not absolving him at all of any of the blame. I think he he should take a lot of it. And there's no solace for Fianna Fáil, whether one blames Micheál Martin or Jim O'Callaghan, there's no solace for him in a vote of, you know, an unbelievable vote, really, of 5%. I think their lowest before this was when John Lehart polled, I think, about 8.5% for in the by-election in 2014, which Paul Murphy won for whatever party he was with then, people before Profit stroke Socialist Party, in on the water charges. You know, that was pretty disastrous for Fianna Fáil. Now, they are in government, one could argue, so things aren't too bad. But, you know, the future for the party, I think, looks grim, because it's very difficult for them to differentiate themselves. They're not really off the centre-left, as I think the voters have looked today. And when they position themselves, if they do, on the centre-right, there's Fine Gael there. So, I mean, it's quite difficult now to say what Fianna Fáil actually stands for. And I think that is reflected in this really appalling vote they received from the voters yesterday.
Daniel McConnell, what are you hearing about from within Fianna Fáil?
Yeah, I mean, it was very notable that 2 or 3 days before polling day, there was a doorstep from the likes of Malcolm Byrne and Fiona O'Loughlin, and where they basically said, you know, Deirdre's not a good speaker and she's limited enough in what she can do, but yet doesn't take away from her appetite, and that this would always be a hard election for Fianna Fáil. So, you know, they were openly kind of saying themselves they were accepting that she was going to do poorly. I don't think anyone really expected her to do as poorly as she has done. And I think to Gary's point there, you know, while Jim O'Callaghan certainly will have to ship some of the responsibility, you know, and even around protecting Deirdre Conroy, you know, and looking after the candidate, you know, by and large, history has shown us it's the leader of the party and not the director of elections who ends up, you know, taking the heat. So I do think, you know, Micheál Martin's probably in for a rough ride at the next parliamentary party meeting, which we'll obviously be monitoring very closely. And
given
we'll
it might as well be broadcast, Danny. You seem to have sort of like minute by minute tweets coming from those parliamentary party meetings.
Well, that's Matt, why you have me on your show. It's a hard-working, assiduous reporting, like you.
Okay, listen, in the time we have left to us, let's talk a little bit about Sinn Féin, because Lynn Boylan has been spoken about in some circles as sort of the parachute candidate with a big profile, a former MEP who could do extremely well. But when you look at the numbers, Gary, she was marginally behind in share what Chris Andrews had in the last general election.
Yeah, I suppose the Sinn Féin vote is steady. What it probably tells Sinn Féin is that Chris Andrews will retain the seat in the next general election, and that the brand holds. I mean, Dublin Bay South wouldn't be very fertile territory for Sinn Féin. I was interested listening to Lynn Boylan earlier, where she specifically used the words working class and thanked the working class voters who came out for them. I mean, to win, the turnout would have had to be much less, and their turnout would have had to be very high, something like what happened with Mark Ward in Dublin and Midwest in late 2019. I think they'll be relatively satisfied that the poll number in the Irish Times wasn't replicated. It's a few points better, where, as you said, just to show you what Chris Andrews got. So I think they'll be relatively satisfied. Lynn Boylan is not going to run in Dublin Bay South, and the general election will probably run Dublin South West, and will probably be elected there. I think they chose the right candidate because she did have a national profile and is good in debates, comfortable on the TV as she was on your show, Matt. And, you know, I think they'll be just about satisfied. And I heard Mary Lou MacDonald earlier talking about this as a rejection of the government, as it probably is. And again, if you look at the Green Party, you know, Claire Byrne did okay, but way off, you know, at 8%, way off what Eamon Ryan got. Now, you wouldn't expect her to be polling in those numbers, but 8% for the Greens is a poor day's return. This can be seen as a rejection of the government, I think.
Well, I just see actually Leo Varadkar is speaking at present. Danny, sorry to have dragged you away from that, but he's been saying that since he's been born, there have been 35 by-elections and sitting governments have won only 5, and 2 of those were family members where a TD had died, which may all well be true, but the expectation was in this particular Dublin Bay South constituency, such a Fine Gael stronghold, that it would be able to win it. He's also said that he has no doubt that James Gagan will be TD for Dublin Bay South if he decides to run in the next general election. I wonder, will he be running as a candidate alongside Kate O'Connell? And also, he also said that if there was a question over his ability to lead the party into elections, he said, "I don't believe so." Last word to you, Daniel McConnell.
Yeah, I think, you know, Fine Gael, Leo Varadkar's kind of articulating what have been said to me kind of throughout the day. They're kind of softening the ground and saying this is not, you know, they're kind of trying to claim that, you know, defeat is not necessarily the end of the world, blah, 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 blah. You know, but the thing of it is that they had two seats here. This is Gar Fitzgerald, you know, Heartland, et cetera, that for there to be no Fine Gael TD here now is quite the reversal. I do think there is a Fine Gael seat here at the next general election. There's one, not two, I would think. So whether it's Kate O'Connell or James Gagan, and there'll be quite the ding dong, but there's an awful lot of internal recrimination within Fine Gael over the handling of all of this, and I do think, you know, there's a lot of internal kind of soul searching to be done as to whether or not it will be James Gagan or Kate O'Connell who goes forward. Because Remember, at the next election, the parties need a 40% gender balance ticket, which is a far more, you know, so you'll probably need to see Kate O'Connell stand by herself or Kate O'Connell and James Gagan go head to head, and they could end up splitting their vote.
Daniel McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner, and Professor Gary Murphy from DCU, as ever, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.